This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in the city. And now, let's hear the Word of God. There is a voice to guide your way. Come with
joy, we'll refresh. Radical change. Time. Woo! Where are we going to go, Lord? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? All right. I want to talk about seven things if I can get it all in, all right? It's our time. We're going to do, I got some time, okay. It's our time. This is our first young adult initiative, our first young adult service. 20 to 40, make some noise, please. Now, if you feel 20 to 40, make some noise. Those were the days. Our first young adult takeover. I've enjoyed it so far. Everything has been so impactful, and I'm honored to be here. I want to talk about seven things. It's our time for divine favor, divine testing, divine separation and connections, divine opportunity, divine revelation, divine plan, and divine discovery. Don't worry about it. I'll break it down. We're going to try to use the story. I kept volleying between the story of Joseph or the story of David. So I'm going to kind of volley in between, and we'll see where we end up tonight as the Lord speaks to us. Let your word fall on good ground in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, this is our time for divine favor. Divine favor. Anybody ready for divine favor? Woo! I love favor because favor gets you things that money cannot buy. Amen? Let's go to Genesis 37, chapter 37, verse 3. I believe they'll have it on the screens. I'm so hyped. I'm so excited. Boy. All right, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Now, you can't help when you're born. It ain't your fault you're the father's favorite because you was born at a certain time. And he made him a coat of many colors. All right, let's just stop there for a minute. Divine favor. Favor from the father. Everybody say favor from the father. We later learned, as you know the story, how his brothers was jealous, his brothers was upset, because the father singled him out. When you get divine favor, it is an anointing of distinction. Everybody say distinction. Right. When the father gave him the coat of many colors, it was to set him apart and to make him distinct amongst his brethren. A lot of people don't like that because we all grew up together. We all had the same food. We all went to school in the same neighborhood. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the father favors you. You didn't ask for it. You didn't do anything extra. You didn't do anything different. The father just chose to favor you. Tell your neighbor, it ain't my fault I got favor. You should have been born so you could be 20 to 40 now. It ain't my fault. You older or younger, that ain't my fault. It's our service tonight. You can't help when you're born, but... He was his father's favorite just because of specifically what it meant to him. And because you mean something to God, he favors you. I said, because you mean something to God, he's favoring you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You got to receive this prophetically tonight. Because somebody say, I mean something to God. You may not mean much to people on your row or half the people in your phone, but thank God I mean something to God. Divine favor. He got a coat of many colors in the midst of his brothers, signifying him as different, signifying him as he's my favorite, choosing him out in the midst of his brethren. Now, we skip to David, and David was not publicly admired by his father. He wasn't publicly appreciated. So Joseph is publicly celebrated. David is kind of tucked away and hidden. Let's go to David real quick. 1 Samuel 16:11. I love how God starts this chapter off. I absolutely love how God starts it off. It's real gangster. It's kind of like, you know what I mean? So he says, look, he said unto Samuel, he said, no, I'm sorry. Let's go to the top of that verse. 16, verse 16, chapter 16, period. Chapter 16, verse 1. Verse 1. Yeah, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him over Israel? In other words, how long are you going to cry over somebody I took out of your life? That doesn't touch somebody over here. Let me go over here and make sure it touched you too. God is like, how long are you going to continue to cry over someone I removed from your life? See, look at this. It says, how long will you mourn for Saul? It didn't stop there. I understand that you cry over Saul. Y'all had a connection. But seeing I have rejected him. Seeing means understanding. It means once you understand it's me that brought the separation, how could you still cry? Y'all missing what I'm saying in here. There are some people God is removing out of your life, but you need to say, as long as it's him, I'm cool with it. For the Lord giveth. And don't stop there. And the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say, thank God for everybody he removed out my life. Some people don't deserve your space anyway. They're space invaders. I'm a priest at the 14th, so y'all come out the 14th. I have rejected him. He said, fill your horn with oil. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king amongst his sons. God had already chosen a king out of the camp of the sons of Jesse. David is minding his business, taking care of the sheep, not even knowing that God chose him to be king. Woo! You can be chosen and not even know it. Did y'all hear what I just said? You can be chosen and not even know it. Samuel gets up. He goes to Jesse's house and he says, listen, bring all your sons. I'm here to anoint the next king. Now we can go to 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. I'm here to anoint the next king. We're talking about divine favor because he didn't get it from his natural father. He didn't get natural favor. David did not get natural favor, but he still had, somebody say divine. Divine favor. Favor. So he says, he brought his first son out. I'm sorry, let me paraphrase. Y'all know the story. If you don't, just follow me. He brought all the sons. He said, bring all your sons out because I have to anoint the next king, and they wanted your sons. Jesse like, oh my goodness, come on. Come on. Eliab, come on. Shammah, come out here. Here they go. Here they go, right here. Samuel sees the first one. He's strong. He buff. He got swag. He like, that got to be the king. That's him. All right, get the oil. God says, no, I rejected him. He said, don't look like man looks, for man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It might look good on the outside. Yeah, okay. But God looks at the heart. He said that one after the other, every son got rejected. Everybody who looked like they should have the position did not have the heart of the position. Uh-huh. He said, oh, did y'all hear that? Okay. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Are these all your sons? Is this everybody you got? Jesse said, no. No. This word stuck out to me today. There, am I going to go there first or what? Okay. There remaineth yet the youngest. Remaineth. That word stuck out to me today. I read the scripture a billion times, but that remaineth stuck out to me. There remaineth yet the younger one. There's still one that remains. Woo! I want to talk to you for 1 second. I know I'm still on divine favor, but I want you to I want you to not get discouraged because of lack of recognition. Remain diligent. Remain faithful, because when your time comes, they're going to remember the one that remains. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Look at your neighbor and say, remain faithful. Whether they acknowledge you or not, whether they pick you or not, whether they choose you or not, whether they honor you or not, remain. Woo! Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you remain. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and Okay, that remains has hit me today. Be ye steadfast. Come on, y'all, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Somebody say remain. Because if I remain faithful, I'll be chosen to reign. Woo! Those who remain shall later reign. And I didn't even know I could rhyme like that. Remain faithful when no one's looking. Remain faithful when it seems like nobody cares. Remain faithful. Amen? But why didn't Jesse bring him out with the other sons? I always wondered this. Why didn't Jesse bring him out? Well, I can't really go into this because I got to talk about divine favor. But I want to let you know, even if you're overlooked, God sees you. See, the Bible says in Psalms 51, David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So we don't really know how David was born or how. It is speculated that Jesse had a mistress and David was the son of the mistress. Yeah, so he wasn't born from too holy. Something happened there. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So he was born rejected. He was born the outcast. I'm talking to outcasts in here. God specifically chose the outcast. He specifically chose the one that was born out of wedlock. Quiet. Let me leave it alone. That's for five of you in here who wonder why my parents do that. Why don't I know my dad? Why did my mom have a one-night stand? It might seem like you're the outcast, but God chose you to reign. And I got news for you tonight. It's your time. So he didn't even consider him really a son because he was half-breed. I feel like, okay. I wish I had that 14 is getting me. So when David comes out, he looks different than all the other brothers. He got red hair. He handsome. He got bright eyes. That's your Bible. So David come out looking all different like, yeah, Paul. What was you doing back there, David? I wrote this other worship song. What's up? What is it? Well, you was right. Yeah, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. What's up, Dad? What's going on? God said, Samuel, that's him. Anoint him. He was chosen, and the Bible says he was anointed in the midst of his brothers. Sometimes I wish God would show me favor to the side. Y'all quiet. I wish God will anoint me in the back sometime. But God will bring you right in the midst of those that counted you as an outcast. He'll bring you right in the company. For the Bible says he prepares a table before me in the of my enemies. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't mess with me tonight. Because God will anoint me right in your face. I mess around and lay hands on you and you'll recover. I mess around and pray for you and you'll get a breakthrough. He'll anoint me right. Double shataba. Good God, help me. He had divine favor, not natural. Divine favor. Immediately after divine favor came divine testing or divine opposition. We see this with Jesus. Jesus gets baptized. He comes up. The heavens open to him, the Bible says. A Holy Spirit descends like a dove. So we see Jesus the Son, we see the Holy Spirit in a dove, and we hear the voice of the Father, all three in one place. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I know that was like, I'd have been like, yo, John, I'm next. Baptize me next. Are you kidding me? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in one place? Manifest? So Jesus has this moment of divine favor. This is my son. Nobody can deny that that was said over his life. The Bible says immediately after that, he was led of the Spirit, divine, to the wilderness. Divine testing. Divine testing. Testing from God. And I want to let you all know, we're all excited about the next level, these next 7 years, but it is impossible to go to the next level without testing. Ask any of your kids in school. They're not going to eighth grade unless they pass the seventh grade test. I'm going to say that over here. You're not going to the ninth grade unless you pass the eighth grade test. Not if you take the test, if you pass it. We're taking a lot of tests, but how many? Okay. How many are we passing? So now, we have divine testing. Oh, man. Joseph has a dream. Opposition comes. I'm going to be over my brothers. The first thing that happened was the opposite. They threw him in the pit. He said, I had a dream. I'll be over y'all. The first thing that happened, he was under them. Divine opposition. Divine testing comes after your confirmation of favor over your life. You have to know that. You have to brace yourself for it. You have to expect it. And you got to declare you got victory over it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when tests come. It's a divine testing, divine opposition. It must come. It must happen. All right? David, how could I do this? David finds himself. Oh, no. Let me just keep moving. I'm sorry. There's so many notes here. I'm like, let me just keep going. David finds himself with divine opposition when Goliath comes for 40 days. Right? He's just been anointed king. And first of all, whoo, good God Almighty. As soon as he's anointed king, he's called into the palace, not to reign, but to serve. Imagine his ego getting checked at the door. I just got anointed for your position, and I'm called to serve you. He never got called to the palace before until after he got anointed to take the throne. Testing of humility and honor. God will test, these next 7 years will be my best. I'm going to be this. I'm going to have this. He will test you. Can you still serve knowing you got next? Can you still, never mind, man. Y'all don't want this tonight. Can you still serve? I don't want to say this. I don't want to say it. I honor my background singers sometimes. I love my background singers. Because when I go on the road, I can just throw the mic to someone. They can kill it. Most of them can sing better than me. So I honor them for serving somebody that they can do the job better than me. Can you serve somebody? Let me go to the next point. Let's go to the next point. Opposition happened. Joseph is brought down to Egypt. He's sold by his brothers. He's a slave now, and he has favor as a slave. See, the divine favor never leaves you. Did y'all hear me? Divine favor never leaves you. Man's favor is on and off. Man can like you one day and hate you at the end of the same day. Been there, felt that. But divine favor never leaves you. Even if I'm sold by my brothers as a slave, I got favor as a slave. And the master made him head over all that's in the house. Okay, so divine testing. I want to go into how Potiphar's wife, as you all know, the Bible says that Potiphar put everything in the house in his hands. He had favor with Potiphar, and God was with him, the Bible says. And then it says, and then when Potiphar's wife saw that, when she saw the favor, see, don't think favor is not attractive. That coat, Joseph's coat, looked good. Everybody else had a neutral robe on. Everybody else had potato sacks. Here he come with all these bright colors. Like, how you feeling? You good? Good to see you. That boy looked good. So when you saw the favor, then the temptation came. The test came. She said, Joseph, come sleep with me. He's like, no, hold on. Potiphar put everything in this house under me except you. Except you. I'm in charge of all this except you. That's just like the garden. You can have all these trees, but God will always give you that one piece to honor him. All right, so she said, come on. She kicked everybody out the house one day. She kicked everybody out the house. Joseph come to work on a regular day. Everybody going, he like, Mephibosheth. I mean, I don't know. Huh. I don't know where they are. Seth Meyers? Huh. I don't know what everybody is. She come out in her little Victoria's secretions.
like this. Like, hey, Joseph, how you doing and stuff? You all right or whatever? She said, come lay with me. He said, no, and he ran. The Bible says he took off, but she grabbed him, so I thought. She didn't grab him. She grabbed his coat. Good God Almighty. I'm here to let you know, if you feel stuck, the devil ain't got you. He got something on you. Are y'all hearing me today? If you feel trapped by the enemy, he ain't got your mind. He got something on your mind. He ain't got your heart. He got something on your heart. And if you want to escape the clutches of the enemy in your life, all you got to do, I said, all you got to do is take it off. Somebody scream, take it off. See, I think that's why Joseph went through a coat issue before. So the next time I got an issue with my coat, ain't nothing for me to take it off. The first one was stripped. This one, I give it to you. I gotta be free. I gotta be delivered. I gotta be obedient. Look at your neighbor and say, take it off. Any hindrance, any bondage, any mindset, any doubtful thoughts, take it off. Opposition came. Then there was divine separation. He left the coat in her hands. The coat don't mean that much to me. It was cute and all, but it's not worth my purpose. I had a dream I was going to reign. That didn't happen yet. So I'm not going to sabotage my next for my now. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Has anybody got a vision of yourself and it ain't happened yet? What? That's why the Bible says press toward the mark. That's why God give you a vision of who you are way before you come into it. So when these trials and temptations come to you, you'll press. You'll press. All right. So separation came with Joseph, and separation came with David. David shows up while Goliath mouthing off. He said, what's going on over here? Well, the king said, whoever kills Goliath, he'll enrich him, he'll marry the daughter, and your father's house will be free. What? What did he say? He asked again, and his brother said, what you doing here, half-breed? You ain't even full blood. You just down here showing off. Why don't you give us our cheese sandwiches like daddy said and bounce? David said, the Bible says, and David turned from him to another. Right? He said, is there not a cause? Like, I'm not down here showing off. There's a cause. There's a reason for me. There's a purpose for me being here. You ain't got to make no excuses for being anointed. There's a reason for you to be here. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Haters are going to hate because you're anointed. Haters are going to hate because you're chosen. Don't make no excuses. There is a cause. There's a reason why I'm here. The Bible says he turned from him to another. I love that because that was his brother. But even if my brother is talking against my destiny, I turn. It don't matter who it is. Whoever's talking against where God wants me to go, I turn from him. Are y'all hearing from me right now? Cousin, sister, brother, it doesn't matter who it is. There's so much power in words, I can't afford to have toxic words in my spirit. He turned from him and went to another. That was divine separation. And now here comes divine opportunity. Wow. So that boy left his coat in her arms. She lied and said, he raped me. Look at the coat right here. Look, baby. Look, Potiphar, look. He raped me. Potiphar like, getteth him. Goeth and getteth him. So they gotteth him. And they locked Joseph up. Here go Joseph again in jail. And he had favor in jail. I said, God, why does this boy keep finding favor? And he took me to a scripture. I'm going to take you to it, ladies and gentlemen, because I know this is a word church, but I know you know these scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:9. How come everywhere this boy go, whether he locked up or not, he got favor? He can get out. He's still free even though he's bound. How is it? The Bible says, okay, I'll say it. It says, I believe Paul is talking here. Even though I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, they even locked me up. Even though I suffer like that, like I did wrong, and I was lied on, now they lock me up, even though I'm locked up. But the word of God is not bound. Y'all missed that whole thing, and I don't know what's wrong with you. You could be bound, but the word is loose. Are y'all hearing me? It doesn't matter what state I'm in. The word is not bound. So if the word ain't bound, I got to come out of what I'm in. If the word ain't bound, I got to be healed from my sickness. If the word ain't bound, I got to be provided for. If the word ain't bound, somebody say the word ain't bound. I go through ups. I go through downs. I go through ins. I go through outs. But the word is not bound. You can't stop the word. You can stop me. But you can't stop the word. There's a word over your life. That's what I'm trying to tell you, young adults. There's a word over your life. And no matter what state you find yourself in right now, it has to come to pass. So tell your situation, I wish I can chill and get comfortable with you, but this word about to break me out. Tell your sickness, I really wish I could hang with y'all, but this word about to break me out. Tell the toxic relationship, I wish I could hang out, but I got to go, because the word about to break me out. Time is up. He had a divine opportunity. The king had a dream. What does this mean? His gift brought him before men, right? His gift made room for him. He's talking to the king. Pharaoh, I believe your dream is this. 7 years of 7 years of lack, 7 years of plenty. Or 7 years of plenty, 7 years of lack. That's why you dreamed about skinny cattle, fat cattle. You saw seven fat cattle. That means plenty, skinny. He didn't stop there, though. Here we go. Divine opportunity brought about the divine revelation. So he knew what the dream meant. He knew it. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of lack. After divine revelation came the divine plan. Joseph didn't get elevated because he interpreted the dream. He probably would have got rewarded for that. But he got elevated because he had a plan. Because there's 7 years of plenty and 7 years of lack, I say with all due respect, Pharaoh, that you get a man that you know that's wise, put him over the land. Let them stock up these 7 years. So when we go into the next 7 years, we ain't going to be hurting. We going to have it. We can distribute. We can even sell it, make some money, Pharaoh. Pharaoh was like, not only did you interpret my dream, that's the gift, that's the revelation, but you had a plan for the king. Young adults, we got dreams, we got vision, we got aspirations, we got creativity. Do we have a plan? Elevation comes after the plan. It's our time to plan. You find favor with the king when you present a plan that'll benefit his kingdom. Not just Bishop, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you find a plan that benefits the kingdom, we got all these talents, but no plan. Joseph did not get elevated until he presented 20 to 40. This is our age to plan. This is our age to plan and execute. Then after that, divine discovery. His brothers come. He's talking through an interpreter. Joseph is so thorough, he learned all the Egyptian language. I'm sure while he was in jail, I'm sure while he was in the pit, he was learning all the Egyptian language. See, there's a purpose for the pit, and there's a purpose for the prison. There's a purpose for the pit. There's a purpose for the prison. Learn while you're in there. Learn. Because when you come out, you're going to need it. You're going to need those skills. Now you reign over Egypt. You got to know how to talk Egyptian. His brothers come who are Hebrews. He act like he can't talk Hebrew. For the come out, Joseph said, what y'all doing here? Joe said, he's talking to an interpreter. They don't even recognize him. This level that God has taken you to, people who are familiar with you ain't even going to recognize you. Because you're going to talk different. These next 7 years, you're going to look different. These next 7 years, you're going to carry yourself more studious. Come on, 20 to 40, you're going to be more studious, more educated, more classy, less trashy, more righteous, less ratchet. They're not even going to recognize you. That boy talking different. Finally came to the point, I'm done. Thank y'all for the extra time. It's my party. It's my birthday, so thanks for the extra time. Finally came to the point where he said, I'm your brother. He said, you sold me, but God sent me. Did y'all hear that? You sold me out, but God had a purpose for that. If you never rejected me, I would never be king. If you never lied on me, I would never reign. If you never treated me like I was an outcast. For they that suffer with him shall reign. He discovered, and Bishop was talking about this at his success summit the other night, how discovery is basically revealing what was already there. If you go to a Broadway musical, the curtain is down. There's a scene behind it. There's a whole, everything. When the curtains come up, you discover what was already there. You're about to be discovered. People don't recognize you because the veil is over their eyes. People don't recognize you because it does not yet appear what you shall be. But this is the season God removes the cover. Not in a negative way, in the most joyous way. He's going to reveal you. He's going to raise the curtain. And he's going to say, you know what, young adults? It's showtime. Look at your neighbor and say, it's showtime. It's our time. He's raising the curtain. Slowly but surely, people are going to discover who you are. It was already there. But like God said, let there be light. He didn't create it. He said, let it be. Let there be light. Let them discover what was already there. It's our time, y'all. It's our time. The favor is on your life. Never mind the testing that's going to come. And you already got victory over it. Watch the opportunity when it comes. Separate from who we need to separate from. Get revelation from God as to what we need to do in this moment. Once you get revelation, plan it. Get the plan. Get the plan. Get the plan. Because when you answer somebody's problem, money comes to you. Y'all just heard it in the Shark Tank. Y'all just heard it. When you answer a problem, money comes to you. Here's the proof of that.